Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Welcome to Issues 2017. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Fire Chief Ron Blackwell. Welcome to Issues 2017, Ron. Nice Steve, to have you with us.
Steve, good to be with you.
I almost forgot who I was there. Well, you've announced that you're going to retire in July after 10 years as Wichita Fire Chief. What went into that decision?
Well, number of factors. One has to do with the department itself. I believe we're in really good shape right now. We've worked hard over the course of the past few years to develop some people and position them to lead. And then, too, there were, of course, some personal things going on in my life. I've reached an age and have been in the fire service now since I was 18 years old, and so it's probably someone else's turn.
Okay. 10 years as chief, but you've been with the department, as you say, a long time. Tell me about that.
Well, I started in 1975. I moved to Wichita after I got out of the Air Force in 1970, and the Air Force started me on my way. They sent me to their fire protection school, which at the time was in Illinois. Did 4 years in the Air Force as a fire protection specialist. Separated. Wanted to remain in the fire service, returned home to Kansas City, which is my original hometown. Sought a job there, couldn't find one, but found a job here in Wichita working at the airport as a safety officer. Did that job for a year, and then the city called and asked if I was still interested in being a firefighter, and I was, and away I went.
Why now, why did you make the decision to become a firefighter?
Well, you know,
needed a job.
But that was a part of it. And yeah, the need for a job, it was kind of foisted on me. You know, when I joined the Air Force, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I had went off to college at the University of Missouri in Kansas City there for about a year. And I was not a really good student. And so I didn't go back. Went into the Air Force, and they picked a career for me. And it happened to be one that fit.
Okay. Did you have mentors?
I've had a lot, and one that is really important to me is my predecessor as fire chief here in Wichita, Larry Garcia. He did a lot to help me find the way, was promoted under Chief Garcia a couple times. He provided opportunities for me to lead, to make some mistakes, and to learn a lot about the service, and for him I will be eternally grateful.
Now, you sound like you came pretty well prepared, but did you need any more education as you were coming through the ranks? Was there more that you had to get, do you think?
Absolutely. While coming through the ranks, I did get a bachelor's degree at Wichita State, and then later a master's degree from Wichita State. I also participated in the National Fire Academy's Executive Fire Officer Program, which was instrumental in my development and in my career.
Talk a bit about the Firefighters Work Week and how you keep those fire stations occupied with crews 24/7.
Sure. Well, our firefighters here in Wichita work 24-hour shifts, so they're on for 24 hours. Then they're off for 48 hours. During that 24-hour shift, it can be a very busy time for many of them. As you know, Steve, we've got 22 fire stations. We make about 50,000 calls a year. About 80% of those calls are emergency medical calls, and that's a constant in our service today. But we also continue to have a number of fire-related calls concerning structures and buildings and cars. And, of course, we've had some wild land fires here around the state, so our folks are very busy.
So how many Wichita firefighters do we actually have then?
Right now, the department is made up of about 440 firefighters and civilians.
Now, when you talk about that schedule, and of course, as you know, my brother Jerry is a retired firefighter, and he worked that schedule for many years. 24 on, 48 off. Is that it seems strange to somebody who works 5 days a week, but does the guys ever get comfortable with that?
They get very comfortable, but as you might imagine, it can at times present some challenges for families and young families and having a father or a mother home and around. To address whatever may occur during the day, or there will be times, or certainly times, even today, where firefighters use shift exchange or find some other method of leave to address issues and situations concerning their families. But most of those, many of those who are members of our department, really love those hours and couldn't imagine working anything any different.
Well, you might have a kid who's got a special program at school or a ball game, something like that, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, there's that, and there's also the weekends. When you talk about ball games, you know, there are a lot of youth sports activities, and
yeah.
So Saturdays and Sundays can be tough on families if it's a firefighting family.
Holidays.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Of course, we always enjoy the 4th of July as a firefighter. Actually, you're going to stay pretty busy.
Yeah. The 4th of July is a very busy time. But, you know, when you talk about holidays, I think about things like Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, which are traditional big family holidays. And our firefighters are often on duty. In some cases, families come and they celebrate Christmas or Thanksgiving at the firehouse. There are things like birthdays that are celebrated at the firehouse. So, we've got a lot of very conscientious and dedicated people who love those hours, but will always find ways to take care of their families.
Now, who takes, when you're on there 24 hours or on, and who takes care of the meals in that situation? You guys send out to the finest restaurants and set up white tablecloths and candles. I'm not seeing this. Okay.
No, not the finest restaurants. But often in the firehouse, there is someone who does cook. Some of our firefighters are very, very good at it. Those who are fortunate enough to be assigned to a fire station where there is someone who cooks well, they do very, very well. And then, of course, there are those situations where sometimes meals are hard to get and you wind up trying to grab something quick.
Mm-hmm.
But meals in the firehouse are typically very good. Some outstanding breakfast are done over the course of some weekends. And then, of course, when there are special days, there can sometimes be special meals.
How do these firefighters, they're eating that good, how do they stay in shape? I used to see them out working out and running in the park. Do they still do that?
They're still out, and fortunately for us, we've developed a very good relationship with the local YMCAs who allow our folks to come in and do what they can and should do to maintain some wellness.
But they're always in contact with the radio right there. I mean, if something comes up, they can be in the truck in a matter of just a couple of minutes, right?
Yeah, the radio is always with them. And, you know, Steve, in the past we've talked about response times here in Wichita, and it's one of those things that we're really proud of. We can get to about 90% of the city in 5 minutes or less. That's as it relates to the drive. Now, of course, there are some variables in there about how quickly we get to the fire unit itself and how quickly we can get dressed and ready to go. But typically here in Wichita, you should see a fire truck within 5-6 minutes of your call.
You know, it seems like forever if you're out there on the fire, but that's pretty quick.
Yeah. It absolutely does. I've talked to many many people over the years who've asked what took so long. But when we take time to go back and analyze the response, we see that we generally do very well in getting you help very quickly.
Do you rank that to with other fire companies around or cities around the nation?
We do some comparative.
I mean, because every city's larger or smaller.
Sure.
It's tough to do.
Yeah, we do some comparative analysis with other cities. There is a International City County Managers Association that provides data that allows us to compare how we're doing with other cities, and we generally compare very, very well here.
Do the firefighters still slide down that fire pole?
Well, we've got.
I always thought that would be fun. Of course, I would break my neck the first call. But you know.
Well, no, we've got one of our 22 fire stations has poles, and it's the last one here, and that's our fire station downtown at Murdoch and Main, Station 1.
Number 1, yeah.
Yeah, it was built back in, I think, 1974. So
yeah.
It's starting to age a little bit, but it's a two-story facility. There are six poles that connect the sleeping quarters to the engine room. Mm.
And before we leave the meals, I know that at one time you were in a fire station with my brother. Did you ever let him cook?
No.
Oh, okay.
Your brother, though, absolutely is one of the good ones. As you know, he was on and had been on for a while when I started, and he was one many of us would look to, veteran and experienced firefighter that knew a lot of the tricks of the trade and someone who I have many fond memories of.
But don't let him cook.
No cooking. No.
Okay.
No.
How many trucks have you got? How many fire trucks and whatever?
Yeah, well, there are about 20 fire engines.
Engines, okay.
Uh-huh. There are four what we call ladder trucks, truck companies. And then there are some support equipment and a number of less heavy ladders. You might have heard us talk about an aerial platform, Steve. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that sometimes people call a cherry picker. So we've got four of those across the city, and then some other lighter ladders, as well as some specialized equipment for hazardous materials, for rescue situations involving high elevations, below ground, water.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a full service all hazards fire department.
You didn't talk about there are some specialists like when you need some, you got a submersion guys, people like that. But you talked about my brother who served on a rescue squad.
Uh-huh.
That's a little bit different than just regular firefighting, isn't it?
Yeah, their training is immense and it's highly specialized. And our folks take a lot of pride and spend a lot of time training, trying to prepare for any situation that can come, and that is almost always the case. Many times what a 911 call taker is told may not necessarily be what the firefighter faces when he arrives. So we spend a lot of time trying to get ready for everything.
Now, does there a rescue squad goes out on every ambulance call? Or
right. Well, what we have here in town, we do what we call squads, and then we have a heavy rescue squad.
Mm-hmm.
But the squads are typically a pickup-like truck that provides us a lot of versatility and utility and is often first dispatched for emergency medical calls, but also offers some support on the fire calls.
You're listening to Issues 2017 on the Intercom radio stations. Our guest is retiring Wichita Fire Chief Ron Blackwell. Ron, does WFD have a good mix when it comes to things like ethnics and gender and
sure.
the firefighters?
Yeah, there still remains some work to be done there. Right now there are probably 8, maybe 10 women who are part of our firefighting force. In our past 3 recruit classes, they've produced at least one woman.
Mm-hmm.
They do very well. And then you probably know Tammy Snow, a longtime Wichita firefighter. She's currently deputy fire chief and has been on the job for more than 25 years. We have a number of African-American firefighters, Hispanic firefighters, and others. Of course, we're always looking to increase our diversity. And for those who are capable, have a desire, want to learn more, there are a couple ways to go about that. We're currently in the process of completing our 9th Citizens Fire Academy, which provides an opportunity for people who have an interest to learn more about the department. It also provides an opportunity for citizens who want to know more about the inner workings of our fire department to participate in a 10-week program during the evening hours, where they come out and get exposed to tools and equipment and our most important resource, the firefighters themselves.
What are the physical requirements to be a firefighter?
I mean, right now we put all of our applicants.
I've seen Tammy Snow, and she's not a great big person.
Oh, she's not.
But she must be pretty strong. You know,
well,
what I'm saying?
She is strong. And what we put our applicants through is what's called the Candidate Physical Abilities Test, which was developed by a number of exercise scientists and others that test the individual's ability to lift, to pull. Test cardiac fitness, those kinds of things, using activities that simulate the kinds of tasks one would be expected to perform as a firefighter. And that we believe, has worked very, very well for us here. And as I shared with you, we've seen an increase in the number of not only female applicants, but those who have been successful in our process.
Do most of our firefighters have a good support team of family and friends, or is it?
Many of them do, Steve, but as you might imagine, I think our firefighters, our fire department is probably a microcosm of the society.
Sure.
But many have very good and supportive families. And then, of course, there is your internal family, your firefighting family, which is always very, very supportive. We're always very supportive of each other and the things we want to accomplish.
Have you had, I know you have on occasion, as chief, you've dealt with a firefighter's death on the job. What is that like?
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Sadly here, Urban Eck died in the line of duty following a fire back in 2010. I've been chief in two other jurisdictions in addition to Wichita, and had a death involving a firefighter while fire chief in Prince George's County, Maryland. And those are tough.
Yeah. No easy way to deal with that. Let's talk about the tough physical work. What are some of the injuries and aches and pains your people deal with? Other than burns, we know there's going to be a burn.
Well, there are some of those, but we do everything we can to avoid the burn. You know, we're really fortunate here in that the protective equipment that we're provided is second to none. And many of the injuries sometimes parallel what you would see in professional athletics. There are strains and sprains and those kinds of dislocations that you often see at the professional sporting level. Our people often work on uneven terrain. You know, sometimes we'll put a guy on a roof, or there are some cases where they're climbing stairs, and there are things that go on, you know, entering people's homes who you're not familiar with. So there's always the opportunity for a slip, a trip, or a fall. Those things that happen at a car fire where you're expected to crouch and get below flames with liquids and fluids from a vehicle around can often create a slip, which can create a fall. So those things that you might see a professional athlete suffer are often what our firefighters are exposed to.
What is the leading cause of house fires in Wichita?
You know, Steve, in all my years, it's been careless smoking. And one would think over time, with all the attention that's been paid and issues related to smoking cessation and those kinds of things, we continue to see careless smoking as one of the leading causes, and is often involved in fire death here in Wichita.
What about the leading cause for a commercial building fire?
Commercial building fires vary, but in a very general way, it's carelessness. There are people who, as you might imagine, get very comfortable at work, want to bring some things in to cook something, to warm something up, that can lead to fires. And in many cases, those occur after hours, so yeah, things have an opportunity to smolder.
Is arson a big problem in Wichita?
I don't know that I would describe it as a big problem, but it's certainly something that we pay a lot of attention to. Perhaps 300-plus fires that are intentionally set and for nefarious means occur here in Wichita. And we've got a very good fire investigations unit. They have a high arrest rate. We have employed the services of an arson canine here for a number of years, and that dog's been very helpful in identifying fires that involve flammable liquids. So, Yeah, we do a lot of work, a lot of good work with our fire investigators.
My next question was to talk about your investigators a little bit. Mm-hmm. From what I can tell, these people take it very seriously. They are highly professional.
Without doubt, and they've got a tremendous amount of training. Not only are they responsible for those things relating to identifying what probably caused a fire, but they also do a lot of law enforcement training, so issues related to the Constitution and the administrative side of law enforcement is all a part of what they're expected to know in addition to their firefighting duties.
And over the years, Ron, are there a couple of one or two fires that stick out in your memory for one reason or another? You've been on a lot of calls, right?
I've made a few calls over time. I remember my first fire, my very first fire, which would have been back in 1976. There was a car fire on the 1100 block of West Douglas. And there was a lot of smoke and flame coming out of that car. And, of course, I was amped up and a little nervous about it. And as we turned off of Main Street, headed toward Seneca, there was a column of smoke that led me to believe that entire block was on fire. As it turns out, it was a car with a fire that had extended from the engine compartment into the passenger compartment, and with those plastics and vinyls, created a tremendous amount of smoke. So I'll always remember that one. And then there was a fire at the Land Tool Company many, many years ago, which was probably one of the bigger fires I had ever seen. There was a fire at the Rounds and Porter Building there at Douglas and Waco,
right,
where the police property and evidence is now.
Great big building.
Yeah, yeah. Big building there, big fire there. And then more memorable events would have to do with some of the lives that were lost. And then not too long ago, two fires, Steve, and perhaps you'll remember, we lost four at a fire probably 2 years ago near here on a street called Goble.
Okay.
There was a couple and two children that died in a wintertime fire. And then, of course, we had the fire at Mid-Continent Airport a couple years ago now, where four people died.
Looking ahead, is the department seeing an adequate supply of applicants? Are you getting enough people that want to be firefighters?
We are, but of course we would encourage anyone and everyone with an interest. Not all who apply are accepted for any number of reasons. Our selection process involves an interview. There is an aptitude test, and then there's that physical abilities test. Many people are successful. We also find, too, that some who are successful in the process are not necessarily suited for this kind of work with the hours and the expectations. So it's important for us to keep an adequate applicant pool.
Would you suggest a job? And why? I'm sure you would, but why would you suggest a job to a young person or any person?
I would. I think the job is great, and it provides us some real opportunity. You know, there's an opportunity there to support the family. You're not going to make all the money in the world, but if you manage your money, you can certainly support a family. And then the versatility in the hours provide some opportunities for additional work, but also that time away from the job can be very supportive of the family environment as well.
What are you going to do in retirement?
I'm not going to do anything.
Well, you know, that's a fairly short answer, isn't it? Nothing at all.
I don't have any plans to do anything right now. I'm gonna quietly walk away. Go sit down somewhere and
I'm not suggesting you need to get another job. I'm just saying, did you have any hobbies? Do you go fishing or anything?
You know, I really don't. My off duty time has been about this job, one that I've truly loved and feel really fortunate to have had over time. So I've not spent a lot of time thinking much about what I would do. I just feel like it's time for me to go, and I'm going to go.
Well, my wife's already told me when I retire, you better find something to do because you're not hanging around here. Maybe I'll just call you up and we'll start our own little golf tournament or something. Golfer.
Let me know.
What's the best thing about being a fire chief?
The ability to really influence and help people, both on the job and those outside of the job. I have currently have a tremendous amount of influence, and that ability to influence either through the title or the ability to put some resources where they're needed has been the best part of the job for me.
What are you going to miss the most other than that call at 2 a.m. to come out and be at a fire? What are you going to miss about not being a chief or not being a firefighter?
No, I think that it probably goes without saying what I'll miss most are the people. I've met some tremendous conscientious and dedicated public servants over the years. Many of them are people that I call friend, and that's not a title that I give away lightly. So not interacting with them as frequently as I have is something that I'm certainly going to miss.
Listen, thanks for doing the show with me several times over the years. Best of luck to you. And all of our best. I hope you have a great retirement. And good luck to you, Ron. Thanks for your service for the city of Wichita over these years.
Steve, thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
Our guest, Wichita Fire Chief Ron Blackwell. That's all for this edition of Issues 2017. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.